clip from Leaving Neverland, Channel 4 HBO.
I remember thinking, okay, it's just going to be this small little film. But, you know, an opportunity to tell my story.
He was one of the kindest, most loving, caring people I knew. And he also sexually abused me for 7 years.
I met him on the set of the Pepsi commercial. The movie coming out and the scope of what happened was like, you know, the thing I was most afraid of. Michael always said, you know, your life would be over if people knew.
He would want me to suck on his nipples and then he would finish himself. I was sleeping and I woke up and Michael said that he had performed oral sex on me while I was sleeping. And I was like, oh, okay.
Leaving Neverland, the new potentially damaging documentary about music legend Michael Jackson. Police prep for demonstrators and possible threats.
Wade Robson and James Safechuck claim Jackson abused them for years when they were young children.
Here I am sitting in a movie theater with all of these strangers watching some of the most intimate details of my life.
I guess it sort of became a routine, masturbating, the oral sex. I was seven.
It's two little boys and I believe many other children who were savaged by a pedophile, but worse, there was a massive group of people and money behind Mr. Jackson who allowed this to occur.
More than a decade ago, Wade Robson and James Safechuck filed lawsuits against Michael Jackson's companies. This is the story of their 10-year struggle to get their cases to trial.
Pursuing this was the act of fighting back. I wanted to fight for little James. I wanted to fight for him and fight for myself.
Why do you think they're coming forward now?
Money.
You think it's all about money?
Well, it's all about money.
It's always been about money.
They can tell each other that, and they might even believe it, but nobody else does. Everybody knows what he was. Their biggest fear is to put a California jury in a box and hear this case. That's their fear.
All of my interactions with him, they were organized by people who worked for him and worked with him.
What they're alleging is that Michael Jackson was a pedophile. That's not negligence.
They could have supervised any time that Michael Jackson was with these kids. They could have warned the parents. They could have called the police. They didn't do what a reasonable person would have done in order to protect these kids. And as a result, the kids were damaged, and therefore they're liable.
A photo of Michael waving.
How do they sleep at night? Hiding everything that Michael was really up to.
Michael hiding his face behind an instant photo.
I want my day in court.
Leaving Neverland 2. Surviving Michael Jackson. Hashtag Leaving Neverland 2. Sunset over a darkening beach. Beyond a spent fire pit in the foreground, a small group of people are gathered on the nearly deserted sand. Wade Robson.
When I first started speaking about the abuse to my therapist, one of the early things that started coming up for me was, okay, this is what happened to me, this is what Michael did to me. What do I do with this now?
A photo of Wade standing over the burning fire pit.
I went to the beach and did the burning of, you know, items, Michael items, personal items, memorabilia items.
June 2012.
As those items were burning, and I was looking at them melt and disintegrate in the fire, I started talking to Michael, you know, to Michael's spirit. Michael, somehow I'm going to turn your wrong into a right.
You know that the things you're going to say here this morning and perhaps in a court of law are going to get a lot of attention, make a lot of headlines.
May 2013.
Why didn't you go to the lawyers and do this quietly? And try to settle some, right. Make some kind of a deal?
Right, because I've lived in silence and denial for 22 years, and I can't spend another moment in that. In order to truly heal, I have to speak my truth, and I have to speak the whole truth. That's one thing that you'll never see from me. I'm never gonna go away with this for the sake of money. I'm never going to be silenced for money. That's not gonna happen.
That was a big decision, deciding whether or not to join the lawsuit.
James Safechuck speaking in his garden. Then film of him as a little boy with Michael, grinning happily up at him.
I was totally disconnected from myself in the past as little James. Does you blame yourself for the abuse? And, you know, it's a terrible feeling. I wanted to fight for little James. I wanted to fight for him and fight for myself. I'm recently just trying to connect with little James and, you know, imagining telling him that it's okay and that I love him. So I'm kind of going, trying to reconnect with myself as a child, so I don't even know what he would say to me. I don't know.
Tears fill his eyes and he bites his lip. Irvine, California. Vince Finaldi, lawyer for James and Wade.
We were brought in because we specialize in child sexual abuse litigation. The only thing we rely on is whether we believe the victim, whether we believe them. And if we do believe them, then we find out a way to help them. So I think a lot of people assume that if we prove Mr. Jackson molested Wade and James, that we win. That's not the case. The perpetrator, Michael Jackson, is deceased. Just because someone has passed away does not mean you cannot bring a lawsuit. So there's two defendants. It's MJJ Productions, Inc. and MJJ Ventures, Inc., which are just loan-out corporations created for the sole purpose of shielding the entertainer from personal liability. While Mr. Jackson certainly bears a lot of responsibility for this, like every other pedophile case I've ever encountered, pedophiles don't operate in a vacuum, especially successful ones. What we have to show is that MJJ Productions, his company that he owned, was aware of it and knew it. People there were aware of it and knew it.
Lawyer John Manley.
From how I met Michael in the first place, to how we met again, and then once we became friends, all of my interactions with him were organized by the people who worked for him and worked with him.
A bird's eye view of Neverland.
There were so many times bodyguards that worked for Michael right outside of the door when abuse was going on, whether that was at Neverland or in trailers at a recording studio. Always people around that worked for him. There was knowledge that there was something weird going on. And nobody in the organization seemingly did anything about it.
A photo of Michael and James waving to fans through a car window.
People must have known. It's hard to imagine being okay with the constant cycle of kids coming in and out. I can't imagine how they didn't know.
I believe that any normal person seeing the things that were going on with Michael Jackson and between him and the kids would have suspicions very early on as to what he was doing.
A contact sheet of photos of a young Wade.
The fact that he was always surrounding himself with young boys, many of whom looked the same, and he usually had one who was his special friend. And he'd call him a special friend, my little friend, and he would interact with these kids in a way
that someone would interact with a boyfriend or a girlfriend.
Is that really appropriate?
So I would find it very hard to believe that someone who's an adult employee of Michael Jackson would not at the very least have a suspicion as to what's going on. Michael Jackson got away with this for a long time. The very first one we know of involves a young girl who was actually a tomboy. And it's my understanding she was sexually abused by Mr. Jackson in the mid-1980s. And he ended up paying her a settlement in the range of about $900,000. And it was paid by his companies.
Photos of bank transfers.
There's another one involving Michael Jackson's housekeeper's son.
Jason Francia did disclose that he was fondled by Michael Jackson, and that a lot of times during the fondling acts, Michael would slip money in his pocket, presumably in a way to keep him quiet and not disclose the information to his mother.
He brought a claim, and that claim was settled, and he was paid out. There was an allegation made by a boy named Jordan Chandler that he was sexually abused by Michael Jackson in the early 90s. And that was litigated for quite some time, very extensively.
Mr. Chandler asked Michael, "Are you fucking my son in the ass?" And Michael said, "Oh, I would never use that word."
We knew we were having problems going into the investigation because Michael Jackson was aware that the father complained to other people about the sexual abuse, and in fact was asking for money. And there was a concern that he might have been charged for extortion. Michael Jackson's camp decided not to go forward in that case.
So there was fondling and masturbation. There were incidents of oral copulation where Michael orally copulated Jordan. And Jordan used the term when he ejaculated that it was called duck butter. Jordan also described the fact that Michael ate the semen, his semen, or the drippings, as he called it. Jordan drew a picture of Michael's penis with specific spots or discoloration on the body and on the penis. Jordan came across as being very honest, very credible. Everything that he described is certainly a crime. It was credible enough where we were able to obtain search warrants.
"These statements about me are totally false. They served a search warrant on me which allowed them to view and photograph my body, including my penis, my buttocks, my lower torso, thighs, and any other area that they wanted."
After the warrant was served for Michael's body, it was, I didn't see it personally, but it was my understanding that it was confirmed that those markings were present as Jordy had described them on the drawing.
Michael speaking in 1993.
"Thank you very much for all of your support. Together, we will see this through to the very end."
The case ended. How did it end all of a sudden? There was a civil suit that was going along at the same time. And they had a settlement in the civil suit that ended up being an exorbitant amount of money. I mean, he was paid some $20 million or more. And that was apparently the quid pro quo of the payout, that this criminal case would go away and he would go away. And that's exactly what happened.
It was a big blow to the case. We had another victim in Santa Maria who was willing to testify, but only if there were other children that would testify. And when Jordy Chandler backed out, he didn't want to go it alone. You know, the guy walked, and now there's going to be other victims, probably a multitude of victims. He's not going to stop. Pedophiles don't stop.
Filmed from above the Neverland Ranch, November 2003.
"Check 1, 2. What's going on tonight?"
"An arrest warrant for Mr. Jackson has been issued on multiple counts of child molestation."
The young boy met Jackson when he was given only weeks to live after being diagnosed with cancer.
The boy reportedly told a therapist Jackson fondled him in his private parts.
Gavin Arvizo says he said that he wanted to show me how to masturbate.
He wanted to show you how to masturbate?
Okay. I said no.
And then you fast forward to the allegations later, when Wade was an adult. And Michael asked him to testify for him in the criminal trial.
He said, you know, we can't let them do this to us. We can't let them take us down. Us. I definitely had a real fear of what he said about if anyone ever found out that he and I would go to jail.
And Michael called him, and called him, and called him, and called him, and kept begging him, and begging him, and begging him.
So at some point, I worked up the courage to tell Michael that I don't want to testify.
Wade Robson, Michael dressed in white, waving to his fans.
After that, I received a subpoena to testify. And so there it is. You know, I got no choice. That's what I'm doing.
Prosecutor Ron Zonin.
He was their first witness, and I cross-examined him. Spoke well, presented well. That's why he was the first witness for the defense.
Did Michael ever touch you? Anything sexual? No, absolutely not. Just, you know, look him in the eyes and be clear.
Choreographer Wade Robson acknowledged sharing a bed with the singer many times when he was a child.
Did Mr. Jackson ever molest you at any time? The defense lawyer asked. No, never, Wade Robson replied.
Tom Messero said that Wade Robson was singularly the best witness he had ever seen, which must be disconcerting to him today to discover that Wade Robson now says he was molested for years by Michael Jackson.
I wasn't able to tell the truth. Absolutely not.
Film of Wade leaving court.
I was asked questions about whether Wade Robson should be prosecuted for perjury. I said no. I said that this is one of those things where very few people have any control over what happens, least of whom, believe it or not, but the person who's experiencing it. This is just not something within his emotional control.
We, the jury in the above entitled case, find the defendant not guilty of a lewd act upon a minor child.
Michael Jackson will be walking out of this courtroom a free man.
I loved Michael. Michael loved me. This was something that happened between us. That's it. Didn't bother me. I'm okay. I'm fine. It'd be a big deal to everyone else, but it's not a big deal to me, so it's not worth the trouble.
A child sexual abuse victim is not going to come forward and say what happened until they're ready. So you fast forward after the Santa Barbara investigation. Wade gets married. He has a child. And it's a boy. And as we've seen many times with child sexual abuse litigation, oftentimes if someone will have a triggering event that will cause the light to go off and for them to start understanding that what happened to them as a child was not right. And it wasn't loving. And it wasn't normal. It was abuse, and it was wrong.
A photo of Michael by an unmade bed.
Mr. Jackson couldn't have done what he did without help. Help of employees, help of colleagues, and help of others. If somebody reported it, that's different. Nobody reported this. Nobody did anything except let him do it. This is about getting at the truth and making sure this never happens to another little boy because somebody happens to be famous.
2017. Wade's and James's cases are thrown out by the court.
A judge has dismissed the lawsuit brought by a choreographer who alleged Michael Jackson molested him as a child.
Safechuck and Robson both sued the Jackson estate, but their lawsuits were dismissed because of the statute of limitations.
The first round of the court case was thrown out. You know, it was too late. That was the defense, that it was too late for myself and James to, whatever happened, to come forward with this truth now. Time's up.
Having our court case thrown away, that was really difficult to go through. And that was hard to come back from. I was just depressed, and I started drinking more. It really hurt. You know, these are personal experiences that I went through. It's my childhood. And so, it means a lot to me to be able to go to court and to be able to fight back for myself and for little James. And so it was really heartbreaking to have it thrown out.
I have no experience with how things work in the legal system, so it never occurred to me that 7 years later we'd still be prior to the beginning of anything.
It's never ending. It's never ending. Until it ends.
James is speaking in his garden with his wife, Laura Primack. 2018, Wade and James take their cases to the Court of Appeal.
We've got to fight it. We've got to continue fighting until they say you can't fight anymore, because that's what we're hired to do. That's the way you really help victims.
Sundance Film Festival, January 2019.
Premiering today at the Sundance Film Festival, Leaving Neverland.
It's sparking conversation and strong opinions nationwide.
Police prep for demonstrators and possible threats.
Jackson family statement going on to say, the facts don't lie, people do.
The movie coming out was like the thing I was most afraid of. Michael always said, you know, your life would be over if people knew.
A clip.
So we were like this married couple. And I say married because we had this mock wedding ceremony. It's like we're bonded forever. It felt good. And the ring is nice. Going through that and having everybody know and in such a public way was difficult for me.
It was just a really crazy feeling to be seeing the film. Here I am sitting in a movie theater with all of these strangers watching it. Some of the most intimate details of my life.
I felt special. I was this boy from the other side of the world, and Michael chose me. Yeah, there's no question I was like head over heels in love with Michael. And he said he loved me.
And then they call us up, James and I, on stage, where I'm readying myself to be attacked.
Yeah, had a guy stick his hand down my pants when I was at scout.
And I went through people not believing me, and I think the three of you and everybody behind the film are going to do a lot more good in the world than Michael fucking Jackson ever did.
And here I was, having just this immense experience of incredible support.
This movie and your story is going to help change the law in this country. From my standpoint, that frame, which...
Oprah Winfrey.
Watching this documentary was an intense and very emotional experience for many people here. It's an audience of over 100 men and women here who say that they were sexually abused as children.
I felt like she really personally understood and has had, you know, some version of that experience herself.
I taped 217 episodes on sexual abuse. You were able to illustrate in these 4 hours what I tried to explain in 217. I tried and tried and tried to get the message across to people that sexual abuse was not just abuse, it was also sexual seduction. I had a light bulb moment and finally realized at 42 that it was not my fault.
She got what I and James had been through, you know, getting to the point in life where it was no longer an option to keep it a secret.
The keeping of the secret did what to your life?
I don't know if I could continue with the pain that I was in. It's no way to live.
Up until whatever it was, 6 years ago or so, you know, I was going to take what truly happened to my grave. No question. That was the way it was.
She said, we're all going to get it. I respected her knowingness of what kind of backlash she was going to come up against.
So when all the fans and the estate and all the anger. You guys are gonna get it. You know that, right?
We're all
gonna get it. I'm gonna get it. We're all gonna get it.
It's freaking terrifying. The reactions of the whole world, angry Michael fans and the media, a certain amount of them can be extremely vicious.
I don't believe these motherfuckers. I do not believe
it. Bro, the backlash is very, very real on social media by many of the most loyal Michael Jackson fans. Many just refuse to watch and again question the credibility and the motives of Robson and Safechuck.
I don't believe a word of anything in this documentary.
Okay, 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 Wendy.
I do believe sleepovers in the same bed. I do believe that if Mother Nature takes its course and they, you know, you get a hard penis. I don't believe touching and I don't believe sex. And I do believe that this is a money grab for the families.
The Jackson estate is pushing back, saying both men testified on behalf of Jackson during earlier trials, then unsuccessfully sued his estate.
Why do you think they're coming forward now?
Money.
You think it's all about money?
Well, it's all about money.
It's always been about money.
This is all about greed and money.
It was always about the money. It was always about the money.
It's all about the money. It's all about the money.
Go down the rabbit hole and do some actual homework on this case.
As MJ fans, we have become lawyers and attorneys. When Michael passed and Conrad Murray was on trial, we were all doctors. Like, we do our research.
I believe Michael Jackson is innocent. I do. I followed the evidence. There is no evidence.
Then you got Oprah who comes in and is like, hells yeah, sign me up. I'm a snake who will turn on anybody. Suddenly you're all like,
are you prepared for that?
James shakes his head.
You're not.
Andy Signor, host of Popcorned Planet.
There's a lot of, I have notes just because I don't want to mess up some of this stuff. I have it all here. We can go through it together. We got the email here. I mean, my history of covering things and just my belief that we're all innocent until proven guilty really pushed me to want to challenge what they were saying because, yeah, it's easy to watch Wade and James and think, well, oh my God, this is horrific. We have to listen to what they're saying. But they've changed this case so many damn times to talk about These two have changed this case so many times to really focus on the duty of care because they're so it's so imperative that they get this case right against the estate. Michael is gone. Like, he can't even defend himself. You waited this long and now you're going after the state saying they're the biggest pedophile ring in the world. Michael Jackson had 22,000 kids at Neverland every year. That's a lot of damn kids. You're telling me these are the only two that after all this time have had the nerve to come forward. I don't buy it. I think these two are financially motivated, and I think you are.
We made repeated requests over a period of 6 years for comment from the legal team representing Michael Jackson's estate and MJJ Productions. A clip of a letter saying, I'm asking you, now I'm begging you to give me an interview and put your side of the story in my documentary. They declined every opportunity to participate. We found this speech online by John Branca, Jackson's former lawyer and co-executor of his estate, in which he seeks to undermine Leaving Neverland and dismiss the allegations against Jackson.
So you had a documentary done in complete secrecy because they didn't want any other narrative. You had accusations from two men who had a financial interest in the outcome, and from two men who had previously testified under perjury exactly the opposite of what they said in the documentary. Now, on top of that, the fans and press overseas in England and even in Moscow have begun to point out numerous inconsistencies and flat-out lies that contained in the documentary. And yet, because the laws of defamation are what they are, there's nothing you can do or say. The man can be damaged, his legacy can be damaged, his kids can be hurt. And theoretically, nothing can be done.
Vince Finaldi, lawyer for James and Wade.
You're fighting the world. The entire world. Everyone's against you. You know, everyone loved this person. They know his music, they know who he was, and he didn't have a childhood, and you know, that whole story. And he's beloved, and he was such a great person because he's got these photo ops where he's helping cancer patients or something, and that's what he did every day. Well, they don't understand the way abusers work. Sexual abusers, especially the most prolific ones, they're not stupid people. They're incredibly intelligent, they're incredibly manipulative, and that's why they're able to do this for so long, for decades sometimes, right in front of the public's eye.
New tonight, Governor Gavin Newsom signed a new law giving child sexual assault victims more time to file lawsuits. The goal is to make it easier for victims to have justice.
Kind of as Leaving Neverland was being released, and everything that happened with the Me Too movement, there was this kind of major societal shift around sexual abuse, sexual assault, accountability for that, that, the statute of limitations ended up changing.
Wade Robson.
You know, divine timing as we were sort of on appeal. So that played a big role in us being able to head back towards court.
The Court of Appeal reversed the trial court decision. We won. And we're back in court with yet another judge litigating the case.
Good morning, Howard Weitzman, on behalf of the defendants, Your Honor.
Good morning, Mr. Weitzman.
I think the other side will say anything they can to prevent them from getting their day in court. Let's be clear. They're not sending a message to Wade and James. They're sending a message to all the other people they know are out there that he did this to shut the fuck up. That's the message. Shut the fuck up or you're going to get this.
So let's move on to Mr. Safechuck. And here we need to reset. Mr. Weitzman, your demur, is that correct?
This is Mr. Scientist, yes.
Just one moment and I'll get you next.
The Jackson Company lawyers file a motion to dismiss James's lawsuit for the second time. 4 months later, October 2020, James is playing with his children in his garden at sunset.
Tomorrow we're going to the courthouse and they're going to rule on a few points in my case. And just been getting mentally ready to go down there and preparing for the worst, I think, so that I can be prepared. So I've been a little depressed today. I have been here before. Yeah, it seems like many times. So it's draining to go through this over and over again. So here's another step.
The next day, James and his wife arriving at the Superior Court of California in the county of Los Angeles, wearing COVID masks.
I didn't sleep last night. I slept like 1 hour. My nerves are kind of shot.
So this is the defendant's MJJ Ventures and MJJ Productions demur.
Hearing on demur.
A demur is I describe it as a legal so what. Essentially, the argument is, even if you assume everything in the allegations of the complaint are true, that he molested him, that they knew, all that stuff, so what? We still can't proceed because of the law.
This is the defendant's MJJ Ventures and MJJ Productions demur, so I would like them to have an opportunity to address the court's tentative ruling first.
Certainly, Your Honor, and this is Mr. Stein Sapir. What they're alleging is that Michael Jackson was a pedophile, that he was an evil, criminally deviant person. Those are the allegations in the complaint. That's not negligence. I don't see how you can say a company that is created by Michael Jackson for the purpose of managing Michael Jackson's business affairs has any sort of negligence-based duty to not hire Michael Jackson.
So I've read the tentative ruling, the court's analysis, and I think there's just a fundamental disagreement between the parties and plaintiff and the court's analysis.
So why am I wrong as to those two fundamental principles?
The court has questioned whether there can potentially be more facts. The facts, the relevant facts, the important facts have been pled. They're in the complaint. We've been arguing these issues for years, and we just have a difference of opinion. We're probably never going to agree on them. You know, this corporation was taking custody and control of kids. It had a duty to protect them. That's the law in the state of California. It's always been the law in the state of California. And it doesn't matter if it's owned by a famous musician.
I'm not going to rule on this today. I mean, I need to take the time to go back through everything again. And I'll obviously, we'll let you know as soon as I have a ruling on it.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right, thank you. All right.
The judge was Mark A. Young. Outside the court.
The court will have to make a decision whether if someone's the sole shareholder of a corporation, he can use the corporation to sexually abuse kids, and there's nothing you can do about it.
A week later, James's lawsuit is dismissed for the second time. He holds his young son in his garden.
I don't know when it will end. Having been in it for so many years, it's grueling. I'm looking forward to just letting it go. Like, I just want to forget.
This is not only about this one case. As we see, there's all kinds of abuse that's happened in the entertainment industry. And the laws that are being created by the legislature, by the appellate courts, and the Supreme Courts is going to shape the ways that these kids who are being victimized now, they can hold their abusers accountable. So although James' case may have been a loss in the lower court, there's a very good chance we can turn it around to a very big win, not only for him, but for kids all across this state. And that's our goal.
The Jackson lawyers move to have Wade's lawsuit thrown out.
Morning, Your Honor. Vince Finaldi for the plaintiff, Wade Morning. Robson.
Morning, Mr. Finaldi.
Good morning, Your Honor. Jonathan Steinsapir of Kinsella Weitzman for the defendants.
Good morning to both of you. The court has concluded that despite the evidence that's been submitted of the, if true, horrible acts that were committed against your client and Mr. Safechuck, the court has concluded that as a matter of law, the corporate entities, based upon their structure and control, or lack of control, over Michael Jackson, made it impossible for the court to even find a issue of fact as to whether this case should proceed to trial.
We have read the tentative ruling, and if allowed to stand, this decision would set a dangerous precedent that would leave thousands of children vulnerable to sexual abuse by persons in places of power within corporations conducting business within the state of California.
And the only thing I'll say in response to Mr. Finaldi is this court's decision doesn't open the door to endangering thousands of children. This is a very unique factual situation where the alleged perpetrator of the sexual abuse passed away.
I understand the issues well, Your Honor. I've practiced in this area for 18 years, my entire career, and I completely disagree.
Okay. All right, so the court's tentative will be its final ruling in this case. Judgment is entered for the defendants.
Thank you.
Court will be in recess.
The court dismisses Wade's lawsuit.
It's just a misreading of the applicable law and completely contorting it in order to come to this decision, which was just flat wrong. This fight's long from over. We go back to the Court of Appeal, and we'll see what the Court of Appeal has to say about it. This is not right. Just because you're the sole owner of a corporation doesn't mean that you can set up the corporation in a manner that allows you to sexually abuse kids throughout this state and throughout the country without liability. That's not the way it works. And if it is the way it works, then we're going to do something to change it.
Wade and James take their cases to the Court of Appeal again, leaving Neverland 2 surviving Michael Jackson. Leaving Neverland 2 surviving Michael Jackson. 2023, Wade's and James's cases go to the California Court of Appeal for the second time. Wade is sitting on an empty beach at dusk.
The last time that it got thrown out, the defense was whether he did it or not, we couldn't control him. He did whatever he wanted because he's the only one who owned the company and the only shareholder. So companies cannot hold any responsibility. The trial court judge agreed with that and threw it out of court based upon that. Right now we're at a point where we've received a tentative ruling that from the appeals court that it's going to get another chance.
Appeal court remote hearing, July 23.
My colleagues today are Justice Elizabeth Grimes, Justice John Shepherd Wiley Jr., and Justice Victor Villamontes.
Today's the oral argument. We have a chance to go and argue any additional points you want to address from the tentative ruling.
A tentative opinion is kind of the idea of where the court is going. So it's not final, but it's a draft opinion. The three justices are on top. And then there's myself and the attorney representing MJJ Corporations.
Holly Boyer, appeals lawyer for James and Wade.
Ms. Boyer, do you wish to reserve any time for rebuttal?
Good morning, Your Honors. Yes, we agree with the court's tentative ruling, so we would like to therefore reserve all our time for rebuttal.
Very good. I was hoping you'd say that. So, Mr. Stein-Sapir?
Correct. Shall I begin?
Yes, please.
If you're saying that any person who, you know, might suspect that they're prone to criminal activities has a duty not to hire himself?
No, we did not say that, and we do not intend to say that, and I don't even follow the logic.
I don't follow the logic either, Justice Grimes, but if you look at page 28 of the tentative,
I read it, and I did not say that.
Well, then I don't understand how a negligent hiring action could possibly be sustained. You're saying that Michael Jackson had a duty not to hire himself.
No, I'm not. Would you like to move on?
Well, I will absolutely move on, but I will say that Judge Backlock and Judge Young both grappled with this issue, analyzed it, and we got a half a page of analysis in response.
Well, actually, I do have a question. Counsel, can you hear me?
I sure can.
It seems to me that these corporations were in an excellent position efficiently to take measures to avoid these alleged injuries. Do you agree?
No, I couldn't disagree more.
So the corporations were, I guess you'd agree, in a position to establish policies, for example, that there would have to be a chaperone present whenever Michael Jackson was alone with these children.
No, they were not in any such position to do that.
They could have done that, though, right?
No, they could not have done that, Justice Wiley.
Why is that?
Because they had one shareholder named Michael Jackson. And well, we couldn't do that. Secondly, this was all happened at Michael Jackson's home. And I don't know about you, Justice Wiley, but companies I work for are not allowed to tell me who I'm allowed to be with in my own home.
So you're saying that the corporation couldn't have established an accident prevention rule because its shareholder was the very problem?
Yes and no, but I think again, you're overlooking the fact, Justice Wiley, that this was all in Michael Jackson's homes, as Judge Young and Judge Beckloff said. So you're saying a corporation, my law firm, to tell me who I'm allowed to be with at my own home.
If you're working out of your home, yes.
Really, any entity can lay down employee protection measures. One measure might be you're not allowed to take a child home.
Problem.
And then what? So let's talk about what would happen. So then they would fire Michael Jackson, okay? And Michael Jackson would still be Michael Jackson, and he would still be able to do what he wants. But the common law is that an Olympic trained swimmer can walk past the swimming pool and see a child drowning in it. And if there's no sexual relationship, not a lifeguard, this and that, he's allowed to walk past it. Okay, that's a very harsh rule, but it is the rule.
The Jackson team don't agree that they had any duty whatsoever to protect these kids, and they likened the abuse to a child drowning in a pool and someone walking by and having no duty to do anything. You could just stand there and watch the child die?
The example that they are a bystander walking by a child drowning in a pool ignores the fact that they facilitated that child being in the pool. They picked up the child. They drove the child to the pool. They took his parents and put them in the other room. So there was a role that was played that I think is ignored.
All right. Thank you, counsel. This is a very difficult case. And we appreciate the gravity with which you've treated all your arguments. This matter is now submitted.
The appeal court rules in favor of Wade and James.
Corporations say that these are, quote, idiosyncratic circumstances, end quote, and perhaps they are. It would be perverse to find no duty based upon the corporate defendant having only one shareholder. And so we reverse the judgments entered for the corporations. I agree it's perverse. I think it's strong wording, and it's appropriate. Who cares if one person owns it or 100 people in the corporation? If the corporation facilitates abuse of children, especially children who were employed by the corporation to help it make money, then the corporation should be held liable. Period.
Wade on the beach at dusk.
The ruling that was written by the three appellate judges was so powerful. Judges are standing up for me and standing up for what happened to us. You know, I never expect a legal document like that to be emotional. Standing up for all children was how this ruling felt to me.
The 10 years of battling for it has made me more appreciative and grateful for the fact that we're able to even go forward. I don't know if excited is the right word, but I am like embracing it, because it's been so difficult to just be able to go forward.
One of the unfortunate circumstances of these cases is that they're incredibly dark. They're incredibly difficult, especially when you really care about your clients and what you're doing. Generally speaking, I lose one client a year, sometimes two, to suicide or to the ill effects that come from abuse, alcoholism, drug use. So you extrapolate that out through a 20-year career, and I get to deal with, you know, the ghosts of at least 20 to 30 clients that I think about all the time. Dealing with these dark issues, they take a toll on you. They take a toll on your family till you get to some point where you need to do something to change that. I am going to be retiring out of this line of work. They're going to be in great hands with some very good trial lawyers in Los Angeles who are going to be taking this case from this point forward.
I only take cases that I think I can win.
John Carpenter, James and Wade's new lawyer.
And I'm fully invested, and I'm looking forward to this trial.
Hearing to set a trial date, February 2024.
My position is we just sit down, get it done, and we'll take these depositions and we'll go to trial. And that's what we want.
Arriving at court are Thomas Mesereau and Jonathan Steinsapir, both lawyers for MJJ Productions, Inc. Jonathan looks at the camera and says,
"Still begging?"
MJJ attorneys argue that they need 3 more years to prepare for trial.
They want the trial never to come. It's typical in these types of cases where the plaintiff wants closure. That's our goal, is to get this case done. Their goal is to delay the case. They seek delay, we seek justice.
Outside the Prince Edward Theater, showing MJ the musical.
They want to make money on their movies. They want to make money on their Broadway shows. They want to make money on their music. That's Michael Jackson Corporation's job. Now that Michael Jackson is dead, what remains of Michael Jackson Corporation, their sole duty and obligation and reason to live and exist is the making of money on Michael Jackson's music. And the truth of what Michael Jackson did is very inconvenient. The more delay they have, the more money they make. Because as soon as they have to own up and reconcile the truth of what Michael did, it's going to decrease their revenues, for sure. I know so much more than I can tell you. And I know what Michael Jackson did.
James is driving.
Part of me is like kind of building up this strength and this shield to go through it. Imagining myself in trial, in the seat, finding the strength and fighting for little Jimmy. When it comes, I'll be ready.
Whatever is the final outcome, I don't really see how I lose. If I get the opportunity to get back in there and get on the stand and tell the truth like I wasn't able to for decades, that's a win for me.
Wade shoots a basket. A trial date has been set for November 2026.